few words in the epistle that was just read to us. The revealing of Christ. The revealing of Christ into the world. We are in the season of Epiphany. In the last couple of months, we've managed to go through this season of preparation of Advent. We're not really good at preparation, are we? I think most of us like to get on with Christmas a bit before it comes, and many people seem to get ready for Christmas. And I think many of us spend much more time preparing on everything else than perhaps preparing and reading about the coming of Christ into the world. And then we have this great celebration of Christmas, which is wonderful, and we all enjoy it. And sadly, our Christmas cake is just about gone, and I'm sure with lots of you, all this wonderful food, and we have to remember how wonderful it was. And people tell me that they're now on diets or going to the gym or whatever. Anyway, and now we've come to this season of Epiphany. And what's this season of Epiphany really about? It's about the revealing of Christ into the world. The wise men coming and seeing that child, and their perseverance, their studying of the ancient documents, the understanding of something amazing going to happen, and them deciding and talking amongst themselves and deciding to go and find this child, this embodiment of the love of God coming into this world, which is there for each and every one of us. And I just wonder how many of us think about it. I'm sure for many of us that have been Christian for many years, we tend to go through this cycle of the seasons, and perhaps, yes, we do all the celebration, but we don't feel, and it doesn't always renew us. Things go on much the same as they have done over the years. I'm actually a trustee for our village charity, and where it raises most of its money from is a field which is let for allotments. And if I look back far enough through the minute book, I can find the signature of my great-great-grandfather, and of course every one of my ancestors, including my father, has been part of that charity as a trustee. Perhaps we need to move away so that it stops happening, but we've done it over many years. And when I look through that minute book, things haven't changed that much. My great-grandfather still had to deal with people that were digging up the paths or leaving rubbish on the path or whatever, and so we do now. And I have to say, we seem to spend 2 or 3 hours twice a year in our meetings. Well, no, not quite in our meetings, because someone brings tea. My wife says, why do the meetings last as long? Well, there's about 5 of us trustees. Probably the meeting we could get over in a half an hour, but we gossip for 2 or 3 hours and have tea, so it's quite good. But the point I'm making is, things carry on very, very much the same. Very much the same. And if we're going to do that with our Christian lives, we're going to lose something. We're going to lose something quite important. Now, our gospel reading was about John the Baptist seeing Jesus. Now, John the Baptist had been there. He was part of what happened when Jesus was baptized. The Holy Spirit coming down on Jesus and remaining with him. John talking about Jesus to his disciples and John's disciples, two of the disciples, John's disciples, seeing Jesus and going off and following him. Now John knew all about Jesus and had seen what had happened. The disciples of John went off and spent time with Jesus. They actually followed Jesus and then remained with him as Jesus' disciples. But let's just consider a bit more about John. If you read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, Luke's Gospel, I think it's chapter 7, there, a few years later, John the Baptist, when he's in prison, sends his disciples again to Jesus and says, "Are you the chosen one? Are you the one?" Now that's not because John had lost his faith. It's not because he didn't remember what had happened when Jesus was baptized. But it's because John knew just well that Jesus was God's chosen one when the Spirit descended upon him. But what had gone on between the baptism and John being in prison was that Jesus' love for the world, Jesus had gone around healing all manner of sickness, all manner of disease. The lame would walk, the blind would see. Jesus' ministry had changed, and the question John wanted to ask was, "Are you the chosen one? Are you the one God sent into the world to save us? Are you the one, are you the lamb that's going to be slaughtered? Are you the one our sins will rest on? Are you the one that we shall have eternal life through?" The answer that Jesus sent back with John's disciples was, "Yes, I am." And I think we're all called at times to understand that newness of God's love in Christ. And we're called as Christians to show that love into the world. Now I'm going to tell you a story, and I think some of you have probably told this story before. A few years ago, a friend of mine was very ill in hospital, and I hadn't been to see him. And I said to my wife one Saturday morning, I said, "I must go and see John in hospital." Within an hour, his brother, who I will add is one of the other trustees on this allotment committee, came to see me and said, "We really want you to come and see John today." And I said, "Well, I've been talking to my wife and I'm going to go this afternoon." He said, "Well, I'm coming, but you'll come with me, won't you?" And I said, "Yes." And then he said, "But you will come, won't you, as a priest? You will come with your dog collar on. You will come with a collar." And I said, "No, I'm not doing that." I said, "I've known him all these years as a friend. Why should I want to do that?" And they really pushed. So I followed and did what they asked. And before I left home, I put into my pocket, in a small Pix, 3 consecrated wafers, and I also took some oil that had been blessed by the bishop to anoint John. Now, if you like to read in the first chapter of James, it talks there about if anyone is ill, calling the elders of the church together and asking them to pray over you and to anoint you. Well, I went to the hospital and I saw John, and he said he couldn't take the wafer because he wasn't well enough. And but he was anointed. And he was talking about going off to another hospital and the hope that they would make him well. The next, I left him at about 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the evening. The next morning at 6 o'clock my phone rang from his brother who had been with me to say that John had died just after midnight. Now, I don't think we've got Sue Ambrose here, but now, 2 or 3 months later, Sue Ambrose was in the village church at Nash, and she said, "Has anything happened?" She was there taking the service. "Has anything happened to anyone? Would they be willing to stand up and speak if they know of anything happened and they've come closer to God and closer to Christ?" And a lady stood up at the back of the church, who I would think has never stood up and spoken in public before. She comes to church very irregularly, and she stood up and she said, "I know that my brother-in-law is with God and with the love of Christ." And that was the man that had been anointed. And this lady, I should think, really struggled to stand up and say that, but she did. Now, the point I want to make is, I was not saying I would go and anoint John, but God calls us to do things so that God's love can be shown forth into the world. And sometimes we're called into doing new things and seeing God and Christ in a new way. And that's what this Epiphany season is about. And we all need to be called. We all need to be ready to see Christ anew, to see and show forth Christ's love into the world. We've had one reading this morning from St. Paul. When St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in the first chapter of the Corinthians, in the first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 13, he spoke about God's love. And he said, depending upon which version of the Bible you read, he said about us seeing through a glass darkly, because it's that wonderful chapter about God's love. And we see through a glass darkly. The Epiphany season is for us to be willing to rub that glass so that we can see God's love a bit more brightly, a bit more for ourselves, it affecting us, and we going forth and showing it forth into the world. Amen.